They say a message from a head reaches a head, from a heart reaches a heart, but a life reaches a life. Just a question. You already emphasized this. I just want to make sure. The past, with its sin and stain, was any of it worth it?
No.
No. Young people, did you hear that? No. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, just very briefly, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. We still have the Lord's table service and just want to bring out a few things from this passage here, Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56. Matthew 27, 55 and 56. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Here at the cross, at the end of all of these momentous events, these women stay there. The earthquake has taken place. The sun is beginning to break through the clouds again. The centurion and his cohorts have already received something. Many people have gone home beating their chests because of the guilt of their own conscience and recognizing that a righteous man has died when he shouldn't have died. The earthquake, the rocks rending, all of these events take place. And there are just these ladies who stay there. We could say they're the last at the cross. They're also the first at the tomb, by the way. And I see in their staying there some loving loyalty. Just a few points about loving loyalty for us as we get ready to partake. But then also for our graduating seniors. I think that there are some lessons in here of these ladies that would be really helpful and applicable to you in school. It says that there are many of those women. Some of them are named. Those that are named, the only ones we know are Mary Magdalene. All the rest of them, we really don't know very much about them. People can suspect that the mother of James and John, Zebedee's sons, that her name was Salome, but we do not know that for definite. We really do not know Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. We know Mary Magdalene. Jesus cast seven demons out of her, and her gratitude never ever left her, and she felt like she could do nothing so great but spend the rest of her life trying to repay her debt of gratitude for her Lord. Anyway, the point is that loving loyalty is honored by God. Some of these ladies are named, some are not, but God mentions them. There's not one word in this book, but that isn't intended by God. And God takes the time to mention the number of ladies that are there. And lest there be some male chauvinist pigs here among us, thinking that, well, it's the ladies that are there. Can I remind us that all the disciples didn't even show up but one? All of them ran away. Only John stayed there throughout the entire thing. All of the other men are gone, but they're waiting at the very end are these ladies, their determination to follow him. Loving loyalty is honored by God, and also this loving loyalty receives God's strength and grace. You may think that these ladies are weak. They aren't. They are strong. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You young people who are graduating, moving on out, you may feel like you're not mentioned, that you are an aforethought, that really no one really cares about you, or really no one even knows your name. If you are lovingly loyal to God, he knows you and he will honor you. But also, If you follow the Lord with loving loyalty, you may feel that even though you are weak at times, and that you feel that you collapse at times and that you fail, you keep following the Lord. He will give you strength and grace to meet every difficulty that you face in life. These ladies face the exact same thing also. Where does loving loyalty look? According to those ladies were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving loyalty never forgets to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. The hymn that we sang today, the look, or alas, and did my Savior bleed. It's constantly looking to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ and him crucified. And yes, he did rise from the dead. He never would have risen from the dead if he didn't die on the cross for our sins. The resurrection was God's stamp of approval, saying that the sacrifice on the cross was accepted. Why did he have to die? As Brother Jason already mentioned, God wants a relationship with mankind, but our choice for sin separates us between God and ourselves. And because of that separation, there is eternal separation awaiting us. Mankind throughout the eons of history have tried to bridge that gap continually to God by morality, or going to church, or being baptized, or taking communion, or giving money to the church, or just practicing good philosophical religion. I have a philosophy, and I'm a brain, and I read all kinds of good theology. None of those sufficiently bridge the gap. The Bible says that it's not by our works of righteousness that we've done in building those bridges, but it's according to his mercy that saves us. And that's the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What is his mercy? It mentions in Ephesians 2. It's by God's grace that you're saved. His graciousness that we're saved. Not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. Well, I've done all kinds of things, far more than what you have. Therefore, I'm going to get there better than you are. No, no one can boast. It is God's graciousness that saves us. How do we know he's gracious? Romans 5:8 says, God displays his own love, gracious love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man's purpose is to have a relationship with God and enjoy him forever. But man has a predicament, and that is we sin. And our greater predicament is that we can't build a bridge to God, and there's a penalty for sin, and it's eternal destruction away from him. But our pardon is Christ's payment. And the Bible says that whoever, no matter what your background, no matter what you've done, you've heard it this morning already, no matter what you have engaged in, no matter if you feel like you're a second, third, fifth class Christian or tenth, no matter what has taken place, no matter what has taken place, you can be forgiven completely. Will you receive him? You can receive a pardon. President Andrew Jackson had to render a decision, and the Supreme Court during his presidency had to render a decision. There was a notorious criminal of the Out West, by the way, who was pardoned by Andrew Jackson. But he said, no, I want to take my punishment of hanging by the neck until dead. Well, how do we deal with this? I mean, the presidential pardon, but he doesn't receive it. And the Supreme Court ruled it is his own choice to receive the free grace and favor of the president or not. And friends, it is your choice to a certain degree whether you receive the favor of God or not. Have you received him? Have you received this pardon? And there is pardon that's there. Loving loyalty looks to Jesus Christ crucified. And also notice about these ladies that says that they followed Jesus from Galilee. Loving loyalty follows Jesus at a long distance.
Young folk, are you going to go the distance with the Lord? Will you go the distance with the Lord?
He went to the cross. There are others who didn't go there. Those ladies didn't have to be in Jerusalem. Only the males had to be in Jerusalem the Passover season, but they decided to go because they had loving loyalty to the Lord. Will you follow the Lord all the distance? Christian, will you go with him all the way as well?
I hope that you will. In just a moment, we're going to sing. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray that today would be a day when you receive him, when he saves your soul.